But so check with your inward authority. And remember, don't confuse the inward and outward. If you get them blended, well, then you can think, well, my inward supports this. Because I've taught a lot of Mormons in my life, like about reincarnation and doctrines that are contrary to what they've heard. And every time they pray about it, they get the answer that the prophet approves of. So going inward only works if you just go inward. If you don't let the outward control you. Because what people think are answers to prayers are often completely wrong. You'll have a Muslim get a completely different answer to a prayer than a Christian. A Muslim might get an answer to a prayer they're supposed to go knock over some more buildings. And now, is that a good answer? No, but that's an answer they're likely to get because that's what their outward authority has programmed them to think. So if you go inward and just access the program that has been programmed from an outward authority, that will give you a wrong answer to your prayer. You have to go true inward and find the true source. Because there's a false source and a true source. Inward, you can find the program that you've been programmed by the outward authority of the beast. And when you find that, you will not get the answer to your prayer. You'll get the wrong answer. When you got the right answer, when you know you're on the right track, is when you find the peace that passes all understanding. When you find the peace that passes all understanding, then you will know for sure. The day before I was excommunicated, I had a seemingly revelation that I was on the wrong track, that I was going to hell and going to do the wrong thing. But then I received another revelation that had the peace that passes all understanding. And the peace that passes all understanding totally surpassed the programming that was fighting for its life. Because you have the programming in you from the beast that's fighting for its existence. And when you go contrary to that, it will try to convince you that it is God. And it's not God. It's the program. So you have the outward program, the inward program, and you have to escape those and go to the true source. And the true source is accompanied by the peace that passes all understanding. Now, you'll tap into this peace in varying degrees. Sometimes it'll be like the still small voice, and the peace will be so almost hard to tap that you're wondering if you're imagining it. Other times when you tap into it, it'll be so overwhelming that it's beyond understanding. It's a fantastic experience that once you have it, you will never go back. Never go back in a million years to worshiping the beast. Never. So the mission of Christ was to atone for our sins, and the way he did that was to correct our sins. And to correct our sins, he tried to demonstrate that the kingdom of God is within and to not rely on the outer authority. He fought with the outer authorities. The outer authorities put him to death. And the power of the beast put him, crucified him. So he had to fight those things. But he corrected error and he attempted to remove people from their guilt. And when he did, like, for instance, when he healed people, he says, "Thy sins are forgiven." In other words, he was saying to them, "Your guilt is no more. You don't need to feel guilty anymore." And when the guilt was lifted, they were often healed. When he took away that guilt is responsible for a large percentage of the illness that we have and a large percentage of the concentration of illness. Like, you may naturally have some type of illness you may be subject to, but if there's guilt involved, the illness will be a lot worse. You know, guilt doesn't do anything that's any good for anybody. It does allow extremely slow progression. For thousands, perhaps millions of years, guilt has been in play that we have slowly progressed with guilt not helping us, but basically being in the way. You know, But any progress we've made has been in spite of guilt rather than because of guilt. Guilt accomplishes no good whatsoever. Conscience does, but a conscience, remember, is a sense of right and wrong. And when you see that you've done wrong, you don't punish yourself, you don't go wander, you don't do penance. You just say, well, I made a mistake. I'll do better next time. And then your progress can move forward. Okay, is that any more clarification needed on that? No.
Continuing on the line of Jesus the Christ, is the Christ conscious, is it coming from a specific being? Is there a being that is known as Christ? I know some of the New Age teachings talk about Maitreya as the planetary Christ, but is there, can you define and help me understand the Christ?
Okay. The Christ is the consciousness of God, basically, where you go within and you tune in to the God within. That's like attaining the Christ consciousness. Now, Jesus attained the Christ consciousness. So when a person attains the Christ consciousness, he becomes one with Christ, if he attained it 100%. Very few attain it 100%. A lot of people get a glimpse of it now and then go off and forget about it, and then they get a glimpse of it again later on. The masters are in tune with the Christ consciousness at all times. Jesus was in tune with the Christ consciousness at all times. Now, on each planet, there is the head of the spiritual hierarchy on that planet, and he holds the office of the Christ. Matter of fact, Joseph Smith is quoted as talking about on the office of the Christ. So on each planet, there is an office of the Christ. There's an office of the Father, and there's the office of the Holy Ghost. And there's three entities that occupy these offices. There's also in varying degrees. Among the Christ and his hierarchy, the Christ is the head of the hierarchy. He occupies the office of the Christ, which is on the second ray. And then there's the first ray master, which occupies the office of the Father, and then the third ray master occupies the office of the Holy Ghost. That's within the kingdom of God. And then the higher kingdom still is held by the Ancient of Days. That's in Shambhala, and he occupies the office of the Father for the entire planet, which is above the office of the Christ. And he has also associates that occupy in his molecule the office of the second ray, which would be the Christ, and then the third ray, which would be the Holy Ghost. But the main occupier, the main office of the Christ is held by the one that overshadowed Jesus. Now, with Jesus, there were two people that accomplished that mission. There was Jesus. And then at his baptism, something very miraculous happened. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, but he was wondering, well, how will I recognize the Christ when I see him? And this is written right in the book of John. And he prayed and asked God, how will I recognize him? And the answer that he received was, well, when you're baptizing these people, you know, you see the Holy Ghost descend on people and then go away, descend and then go away. He says, there is one that you're going to baptize. The Holy Ghost will descend and remain. He says, this is the Christ. This is the Son of God. So John was looking for this. Even though Jesus was his cousin, he didn't know for sure he was the chosen one, so to speak. So he's baptizing, looking for that sign. And then he baptizes Jesus. And it says, the Spirit of God descended like a dove and went in him. Didn't descend on him, but went in him. Okay, that which went in him was the Son of God, was the Christ. So Jesus, the disciple, was a reincarnation of Joshua that was with Moses. The one that went into Christ was Melchizedek. And of Melchizedek, it says he had neither father nor mother. And when he descended into the Christ, he had neither father nor mother here upon the earth. And then, as Jesus was doing his work, he tried to explain. People come and said, "Boy, you're really doing these great works, Jesus." And he says, "It's not me that's doing them." He says, "It's the one that's in me. The Father that's in me, he's doing the works." He says, "Of myself, I can't do anything. It's the one that's in me. He's doing them." Oh, boy, Jesus is just so humble. They couldn't understand what he was saying. Then the Jews come to him and says, "You can't be a true prophet because it's written in the law that it takes the testimony of two men to establish the truth. You're only one." Anybody remember what he said? He said, "I'm not one. There's me and the one that is in me." He says, "It's two." So how plain can he be? Yet people didn't understand what he was saying. So there are two people accomplish this. And the reason that they needed to be true, too, was the Christ was a member of a molecule on the other side. And to create the molecule on this side, he had to descend into the disciple Jesus and establish that link. When the link was established, then Jesus could create a molecule and the power of the molecule could activate the whole thing. And that's why they could go out and do these great works, because they were activated as a molecule by the Christ who linked up with Jesus. And that produced that divine link. That's probably more than you expected to hear, but...